welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, a Labor Day episode on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Go to RBN, keep free speech alive. Also, go to nationalbugle.com, download the Koshertified app. It will tell you what's kosher and what's not kosher. Well, it will tell you what's not kosher. I tell you, you know something that is kosher, Mark Collett?
What is kosher?
All these riots. These are
they certainly are.
Kosher certified riots. They are, aren't they?
They are kosher certified riots. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining me today. We are recording on Labor Day.
But... we're going to talk about... yeah, we are. What is Labor Day? It's not a bank holiday, is it?
Not a bank... well, I don't know. I don't know if the banks are open. They're probably not open. Labor Day is are they mocking us after kicking 40 or 50 million people out of work then to have Labor Day celebrations? It's kind of crazy, but it's the traditional end of summer vacation for the kids who now don't necessarily have to go back to school, or maybe they do go back to school with masks, maybe they go back to school remotely, but it's all about the children, isn't it? Isn't it all about the children? Hey, didn't you have a video on the children recently?
I did, and what we're going to discuss today is something that I believe is definitely kosher certified. And what we're going to be talking about is sexual material being pushed upon children and the sexualization of young children from an extremely early age. And how this is now being pushed more and more mainstream. And this was the discussion or the topic of my last video, which you can see over on my BitChute channel. It's not on YouTube anymore. We know why it's not on YouTube. The censorship is extreme. And we are now in a position where, unfortunately, we are not able to use certain platforms, and we're not able to use these platforms because they are kosher certified. So my videos can be found on BitChute, which certainly isn't kosher certified. But this is a very important topic, and I think it's something that is very, very close to the hearts of many, many parents out there. And it's something that is being ramped up more and more and more. It's something that we're seeing to an increasing degree, not just here in the UK, but all over the Western world. And as I said, this is the sexualization of extremely young children and exposing them to highly sexualized material, both in schools, on the TV. And one of these latest things that we've seen is this disgusting doll produced by Hasbro called, it's a Trolls World Tour doll. I think it's called Giggle and Sing Poppy, which had a button between its legs. So to make Poppy giggle, you had to bend her legs back and touch a button which was in her genital area, which made her make sounds which one mother likened to sexual noises. Now, this is extremely dangerous because these children who would have got this toy, and it is aimed at young children, would have then associated pressing a button or playing with the genital area of this toy with happy sounds, with giggling, with sounds that the mother in question felt were sexual noises, like sexual moans of pleasure. Now, this is being done not in a vacuum. This isn't a one-off. This isn't some unfortunate mistake. This isn't a button that was placed where it was out of some horrible accident. And people who say, well, how do you know that, Mark? How do you know that? Well, these toys go through huge numbers of tests. They're overseen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people. They are product tested. They are put in front of test audiences. And are you telling me that no test audience or no single person in that process says this is highly inappropriate? They knew it was highly inappropriate, but they know lots of things are highly inappropriate. And another thing I talked about in the video that's highly inappropriate was a recent Netflix video. Well, it's a movie that was on Netflix called Cuties. Now, this movie is, according to the creators, a coming-of-age tale. But in fact, it's not. It's a perverse story of 11-year-old girls who are fascinated by the sexual dance known as twerking. And these young girls...
And twerking, for our RBN listeners, is that like...
It's when music is being played, a woman squats down and then she shakes her behind to the music. It's a very sexual dance. It's an Africanized sexual dance that involves shaking a female's derriere to the music to
in the direction of the audience.
To really, it's a very sexual dance used to sort of attract men. And we have to make a big distinction here between European men and African men. African men are far more attracted by large round bottoms than European men. And when you actually look at this dance, it's obviously designed as something that will please or arouse African men. And this is something which these 11-year-old girls, prepubescent girls, you can clearly see this by the marketing material, decide that they want to do. They decide it's very important that they do this. They're passionate about it. They want to follow their dreams of twerking. And at this point, you've started to see somewhat of a pattern. And this pattern is that young girls and young boys are being exposed to this sexualized material, and they are being portrayed as sexual beings, when at that age they clearly are not sexual. They're clearly very, very innocent and don't have sexual urges because they're prepubescent. But nevertheless, they are being sexualized and presented in this manner. But that's not the only thing I reported on. I reported on something that was debated at a public meeting in Ireland, where an Irish Labour councillor took to the stage when discussing new World Health guidelines on teaching children about sexual activity. Now, these new World Health guidelines, which have been adopted in Ireland, suggests that children from the ages of 0 to 4 should be taught about what is known as early age masturbation. And this woman takes to the stage and she claims that babies masturbate. Absolutely disgusting, absolutely despicable. You can hear the crowd are absolutely outraged by what she's saying. But again, we are talking about very, very young children, in this case, babies and infants and toddlers, being sexualized. And we're starting to see this pattern. We're starting to see a pattern of children from the age of 0, from birth, being sexualized or being talked about in a sexual manner. Now, all the details of this are in that aforementioned BitChute video. But I don't just talk about the details of the sexualization of children. I don't just talk about these examples. I talk about the effects this has on children. Now, I'm sure in the United States, you could give me many, many examples of the sexualization of children. Because generally speaking, whatever we get here in Europe is either a slightly watered down version of what you guys have already, or it's something you've already had that's just been passed down to us.
You are welcome.
And it's something we absolutely do not want.
I know. Well, here's one little thing. So I was on my walk this morning with Mr. T, and I was listening to the Steve Elkins show, who does a Sunday show on RBN, and he was mentioning, he is a ICU nurse, so he's in the medical field, and he was mentioning that, which state was it, or was it around the country, they're now recommending this HPV vaccine, the human papilloma virus, which the human papilloma is I guess it's a virus that causes cervical cancer, and they want girls 8 years old to be vaccinated, not just girls, but boys and girls 8 years old to be vaccinated, because you know, at 8 years old, they might start getting sexually active, right?
Well, that's something that's also very, very worrying. They want to vaccinate our children against STDs from an extremely young age. And of course, that is a sickening prospect, because the only reason you would need to vaccinate children against STDs is if you thought they were going to be sexually active. Why would you need to vaccinate somebody against an STD if they weren't sexually active? We know the answer to this, but again, absolutely sickening.
The last time I heard, which was probably a few years ago, there was a controversy because they wanted to vaccinate girls, not boys, but just the girls at, was it 12 or 13? And now they're talking about 8. And then, of course, I guess they'd be getting a booster shot at 16, because at 16, of course, they're all, you know, jumping in and out of bed by 16, of course.
It's absolutely, absolutely sickening and absolutely shocking. And I believe what they're doing here. I genuinely believe that they are trying to prepare to break down the final taboo. And the final taboo in Western society, the last bulwark of morality, is our opposition to paedophilia. That is the final taboo. Sex with children is the final taboo. It's the one thing that unites almost everyone, regardless of who you vote for, regardless of whether you are in favor of mass immigration or not, whether you're in favor of multiculturalism or not, whether you are J-woke or not J-woke, it doesn't matter. The vast majority of people are opposed to this final taboo being broken. But I believe they are preparing us for that. And one of the first videos I ever made, this was back in 2017, was a video called How the LGBT Agenda is Helping to Normalize Paedophilia. And I talked about how all of the publications that had previously pushed LGBT madness upon Western populations were now starting to talk very sympathetically about incest, bestiality, and paedophilia. And things in the last 3 years have really, really ramped up, because we aren't just talking anymore about a few fringe weirdos within the LGBT plus community pushing this. We're not talking about a couple of headlines. We are talking about schools adopting a curriculum that teaches children from birth about masturbation. We are talking about, as you've said, injecting children with vaccines, prepubescent children with vaccines to stop STDs. Well, that seems insane. Then you've got Netflix, the world's biggest streaming entertainment service, the biggest streaming entertainment service on the planet, producing what can be described as borderline child porn. You've got Hasbro, a massive toy manufacturer, producing this sickening troll doll that essentially teaches children that pleasure comes from touching their genital area. Now, any one of these things, in a vacuum, you could say, well, look, somebody's just got this terribly wrong. This could just be one mad person in this position of power in this particular company. But it's not. These are many things happening at the same time. And each one of these decisions wasn't just the decision of one person. Whether it's the toy that was produced by Hasbro, whether it was the movie that was made and then published by Netflix, whether it's the school curriculums or the massive vaccination programs, all of these decisions involve tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. So these aren't just random decisions that can be written off as one madman making one bad decision. But it's not just about these sickening decisions. It's not just about pushing back against them. It's about understanding what they're trying to do to children, and also trying to understand what effect this will have upon children. Because I think it's fair to say that there are few things, if any, that would be as damaging to a child as that child being sexually abused, sexually molested, or being exposed to highly sexualized material that the child couldn't hope to properly understand or comprehend. And I go into this a little bit in more depth in the video that I produced, because I'm a father now. And as soon as you're a father, or as soon as you're a mother, as soon as you're around small children, you understand that children have two very, very important mindsets or characteristics. And those two characteristics are naivety and curiosity. Now, children are naive. They don't understand the consequences of their actions. They don't understand what they're doing. They can't comprehend what they're getting up to. And they often get themselves into trouble because of this. This is why you have things like stair gates. It's why you have to keep your child away from the cooker, because children don't understand that the cooker's hot and it'll hurt them. And they don't understand that if they try to climb the stairs, they can topple down and break their necks. They're naive to the world around them. But the other mindset that children have is that they are very, very curious. And although they're naive to the cooker and the stairs, you turn your back on your child for a minute and your child is toddling over to that cooker, or she's trying to climb the stairs. And I'll give you a good example of how naivety and curiosity can come together on a very low level to form a very low level threat. The other day, I turned my back on my daughter when she was in the kitchen, and she loves going into the cupboards. She loves looking in the cupboards, and she's very curious. She likes to open the cupboard doors and pull things out, and she often pulls out the loaves of bread and scatters them on the floor. And all you do is, obviously the loaves are in a bag, so you just pick them back up. They're sealed, you put them back in the cupboard. But the other day, she got her hands on the eggs. Now, her curiosity got the better of her, and her naivety to what eggs are and the way eggs react to being hit on the floor created quite a bit of a mess. So naivety plus curiosity can be disastrous. Now, my example of my daughter discovering where the eggs were in the cupboard and then discovering what happens when you try to get them out of the egg carton and play with them is quite an amusing example. It's quite a harmless example of how curiosity can collide with naivety to create a problem. But when you think about what these monsters are pushing upon our children, and you take what I've just said, naivety plus curiosity, and then you put into the mix sexual education, sexual themes, sexualized dolls, sexualized material on Netflix, talk of masturbation from ages 0 to 4, you can see where this is going. Now, at this point, I am well aware what my critics would say. I'm well aware that my critics would attack me and say, look, Mark, these people are much cleverer than you. They know what they're doing. They're obviously doing this to stop sexual assaults. They're obviously doing this so children understand and don't get themselves into the kind of issues that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you this. This sexualization of children is having a profound mental effect. And this is from The Guardian. Child-on-child sexual assaults soar, police figures reveal. Mm-hmm. And here's another article from ITV. The number of children reporting sexual abuse by their peers has increased by more than 500%, according to figures obtained by ITV Wales. And what you are seeing now is, as this increase in the sexualization of children ramps up, as we're seeing this huge increase in material of a sexual nature being pushed upon children, we are seeing their naivety and their curiosity collide, and that is causing a wave of what is known of peer-on-peer sexual assaults amongst children, and many of these are happening on school playgrounds all over the country.
You know, I remember being an adolescent in junior high school, and all of a sudden, you know, I had all the hormones and everything and all these thoughts. And I remember thinking in real time, wow, it was nice a few years ago when I didn't have to think about all this stuff. But I guess that's not the case anymore. Okay, well, we will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are back, and I mean, I do remember being prepubescent and not having to think about sex all the time, because the hormones hadn't started, so it wasn't natural, and it wasn't my environment. I wasn't being surrounded by sexualized messages. And so it's like I could think about like baseball cards or, you know, riding a bike or something like that. But that's not the case anymore, is it?
It's certainly not. And what we're seeing here is horrendous, because we're talking now about a massive, unprecedented rise on what are called peer-on-peer child sexual assaults. Now, these aren't child sexual assaults carried out by adults. These are children sexually molesting and assaulting other children. But the sad truth of this is that these crimes are crimes that have multiple victims. You see, you're teaching young people about things they can never hope to understand. They can never understand the ramifications of their actions. These children cannot understand what they are doing. And when their curiosity gets the better of them and they touch another child inappropriately, you don't just have one victim. You have two victims. You have two children, maybe more, involved in this horrific act that will probably be haunted for the rest of their life by that one action. And the knock-on effect of this, and this is very well known, children that are sexually abused, children that are molested, children that are exposed to highly sexualized material when they're younger, go on to be abusers themselves in later life. And those that don't often find it extremely difficult to engage in natural, normal, healthy sexual relations in later life. So this isn't just damaging the children in the here and now. This is damaging an entire generation for life. And this will have two effects. It will perpetuate a cycle of abuse, because, as I said, many people who are sadly abused as children go on to reoffend and abuse themselves. And not only that, the ones that don't find it very difficult to carry out normal, healthy sexual relationships. And these things, as I said, will lead to further abuse. But not only that, will reduce our birth rate, because our children that are being taught this are then going on to be mentally scarred and unable to form relationships and procreate. And we already know that we are rapidly heading towards being a minority, and the sexualization of our children will very much likely speed that along its way.
You know, I had a friend who, a pretty good friend, who had confided in me that he had been molested as a boy by his stepfather or his mom's boyfriend or something like that. And, he eventually had, I don't know if it had long lasting sexual repercussions on him that were so devastating, but he was an alcoholic, and that seemed to be kind of at the core of his alcoholism, is that he was haunted by this memory. And so he was into drugs and alcohol, and eventually wound up dying in, you know, related some sort of, whether it was drug, whether there was an overdose, whether it was a suicide, whether he was murdered by a dealer, I don't know what it was. But it certainly ruined his life. And these are life ruining events. And, you know, it's not as if children never got molested in the past, but it's becoming increasingly normalized. And so there is I wasn't sure if I would even mention this, but there's a state senator, Scott Wiener, he is a member of the California State Senate. He is a gay Jew from San Francisco, and he had come he came under national attention a few years ago when he introduced legislation that would decriminalize people who knowingly infect others with HIV, because I guess there's a constituency for such legislation in San Francisco. And now he's trying to fix inequities in the current law, so that if a adult has sex with a teenager less than 10 years younger than them, that adult will not have to be registered as a, won't necessarily have to be registered as a sex offender. But specifically at gays, because I guess there's some sort of loophole where some people who just have vaginal sex while they're subjected to the statutory rape laws, but they don't necessarily have to go on a sex offender list. So, you know, this would allow, say, 24-year-old men to have sex with 15-year-old boys and not be registered as sex offenders. And, you know, in the big, like when you read through the details of the law, it's not necessarily changing things that much, but it is just, you know, one more push in the same direction. And it's like a ratchet effect. Things are only moving in one direction, and there's doesn't seem to be any pushback. We are up on the break, but I want to hear your thoughts about that on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we are back. And just before the break, I was mentioning this lawmaker in California, in the California state government, who's trying to modify law to make it a little bit easier for gay men to predate on teenage boys. And I was making the point, it always seems to be pushing in the same direction, and there's not much pushback. Am I imagining that?
Certainly not imagining it. Definitely not imagining it. There is a concerted effort now within the mainstream, the media, these toy manufacturers, the schools, the establishment, the lawmakers, the judiciary, to normalize paedophilia. And I believe they're not only trying to normalize it from a legal point of view, like you've discussed very eloquently with this Scott Wiener, the things that he is pushing or pushing is absolutely scandalous. To decriminalize knowingly infecting somebody with a deadly disease that essentially condemns them to a life sentence is just unbelievable. But it is happening. When I say it's unbelievable, it's obviously believable because we know it's happening. But you know what I mean? It's shocking. And the fact that this was voted through is...
And I'm not sure if it ever passed. But even if it never passed, the fact that somebody could introduce such legislation and not have their career end is pushing in the same direction.
Exactly. But I think what we're seeing here is not only a real push to... a real push to legalize paedophilia and to make it appear more normal. I believe in my first video, I said what they were trying to do, the one that I made in 2017, I said what they were trying to do was put paedophilia on the same level as sexual orientation. So people will eventually say, well, you know, he's a homosexual, she's a lesbian, he's bisexual, oh, and he's a paedophile. And it will be seen as, they won't use the term paedophile eventually. They will come up.
Well, if they do that, then you can't discriminate against them in the workplace, because you used to be able to discriminate against gays or lesbians. And now you can't. And then now bring pedophilia into it. And what about if you're staffing a daycare center or a school or a youth club?
No, exactly. And I think a big problem that you've got here with this particular topic is not only are they trying to push this through on a legal level and normalize it in the press and the media, but I also believe there's something else happening which is very, very sinister. And that is that they are trying to prepare very young children for when this is pushed through. So young children will be ready for this. Young children will be in a position that when this legislation is eventually pushed through, they will be so messed up, they will be so mentally damaged, they will be so surrounded by sexual material that unfortunately, at that point, they will be easy prey for these monsters who wish to abuse them. And I think, as I said, this is a two-pronged attack. The first prong of this attack is the normalization, the legalization, and the attempt to drop public resistance to paedophilia. But at the same time, they are essentially grooming and mentally abusing children so that these children will be easy prey for these monsters when the time finally comes that they make a much more concerted effort to legalize this filth. And it will only be a matter of time. And I'm going to explain a little bit why it's only going to be a matter of time. Every time you see the left pushing something like this, every time you see the left going down this very, very dark road, whether they're talking about the legalization of homosexuality, whether you're talking about promoting it to children, whether you're talking about gay marriage, gay adoption, it doesn't matter. Eventually, they get their way. They're like a drip on a stone. And really, all the signs have been pointing to this for a very long time, because leading members of the LGBT plus community have long called for this kind of legislation, this kind of change in legislation. And they have been very open in their grooming of young children. They've been very open in their sexualization of children. And they've spoken very openly about how they do not view sexual activity with children as unhealthy. Mm. Members of the LGBT community are quite open about this. And we've seen this in public with very, very young boys who have been performing in strip clubs.
Oh, yeah, what is it? Somebody is Amazing? What's the guy's name?
Desmond is Amazing.
It's Amazing, yeah. And you talk about the LGBTQ plus, and plus means, you know, there's more letters to come, and P for pedophilia, and who knows what else, B for bestiality. I know what letter they're never going to get to, which is N. You know what N stands for? Normal.
I'm not sure. Normal. Yeah.
Not that inclusive. They don't really want to be that inclusive.
No, exactly. That's a very, very, very good point. And I think when we're looking at all this, I think when we're discussing this, we have to be very clear that this isn't just something that is being carried out, as I said earlier, by a small number of people. This is a concerted effort on multiple fronts involving thousands and thousands of people. And this all stems from what is known as cultural Marxism. This all stems from the same branch of progressive, liberal, tolerant politics that all these other ills sprang from. But all those other ills were stepping stones on the road to this madness. And where does this madness end? Well, it'll end when these perverts can walk down the street and hire a child prostitute without being admonished. And if you try to stop them, you'll be arrested. It ends when Netflix streams content that can only be described as child porn to homes all over America. It ends when your children are being taken into classrooms, injected with vaccines, brainwashed with filth, and sent out after being told that having sex with adults is acceptable. This is where it ends.
I'll tell you where it ends, is when an adult of either sex can go and have sex with your little boy or your little girl, and if you object to it, then you are going to be punished. That's where it's going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what we're seeing here is absolutely, in many ways, the final part of reducing Western society or Western civilization as a whole, even, to a level that could be described as akin to what you saw in the Weimar Republic in Germany in the 1920s. Absolute madness, absolute insanity, and a society or a nation that could only be described as really something akin to Sodom and Gomorrah, a living nightmare where anything is for sale and morality doesn't exist. And at that point, we will have become what our enemies want us to become, which is essentially just debased cattle where anything goes and anyone can pursue whatever they see as pleasure without any form of condemnation. And as I said, morality is completely shattered and non-existent. And at that point, what are we? We have been reduced to something which is actually less than nothing.
You mentioned cultural Marxism, and I used to push back at the term cultural Marxism because Marx himself, for all of his bad ideas, and he had a whole bunch of bad ideas, he never talked about so many of these things, you know, all this sexual perversion. And so I used to push back at it, but it's a term that has stuck, and people use cultural Marxism to refer to a whole, you know, not just the sexual deviancy, but a lot of other accompanying cultural agenda that is basically aimed at destroying traditional, you know, white Christian societies. And so it's stuck, but it's just amazing. And there is a connection because so much of this comes from the modern day disciples of Marx, but it's just amazing. I mean, you wonder what Karl Marx would even think of what's happened to, you know, his cult, that it's gone this far. I wonder if even he would turn over in his grave.
I'm not sure that he would. I think Karl Marx and those who followed him were absolute monsters. And I believe that the Frankfurt School were the continuation of what Karl Marx began. And I think that Marxism was something that was meant to bring us down to a low level. It was meant to defeat us. It was meant to enslave us. It was meant to create a system where a small group of people ruled over us and everyone else was equal, but equally poor, equally useless, equally dispossessed of anything of meaning. And I think cultural Marxism is just another way of achieving that. Cultural Marxism is another way of ensuring that we end up as equally nothing. But in this case, it will actually be less than nothing. And it's been something that has been used to attack the West for generations. The West has been under attack by cultural Marxism for decades and decades. And it is the force that got that snowball rolling. I often talk about that. People talk about the slippery slope, but I always correct them and say it's not a slippery slope, it's a snowball rolling down a hill. Not only are you moving in one direction, going in one way, but the snowball, as it rolls down the hill, it gathers pace, it builds momentum, and it builds in size, and it gets worse. The problem doesn't just slide in one direction. This isn't just like a tennis ball rolling down a hill. It's not just moving from A to B. This is an object that moves from A to B, gains size, momentum, speed, and becomes a bigger problem as it moves from A to B until it gets all the way to B and it's unstoppable. And it is a problem that no one can deal with, and everyone succumbs to it. And that's the issue with cultural Marxism. But the people who got the snowball rolling down the hill were the Frankfurt School. And I urge anybody to look into the people behind the Frankfurt School. I urge people to look into who they were, what they were trying to do, and what ethnic group they were part of.
Well, I'll fill in a couple of blanks. They were Jews. They were mostly from Europe. And their aim was to, what's the word, pathologize traditional Western families, traditional Western, you know, white Christian values, European Christian values, to pathologize it. And they did get the ball rolling. Just getting back to the Marx thing in 1848, because maybe you know more about this than I do. In 1848, in many European countries, you had these revolutions that overthrew monarchs. And, you know, Marx wasn't leading these revolutions. His writings may have played some part. He certainly wrote in the context of those revolutions. I think the Communist Manifesto was published in 1848. I believe it was that same year. And he was writing in that context. How culturally crazy did things get in 1848? Is that something you've studied much?
No, it isn't. I'm very well versed on. So there's no point me going into attempting to fill in the blanks or blag.
Well, you didn't get to England. Queen Victoria's government managed to keep a lid on it, but it was pretty big all over Europe. Okay, I just thought I'd ask because I don't know everything. Well. Here's one more thing, which is kind of related. I was walking my dog this morning, and I come around the corner, and all of a sudden, I see something I don't think I've seen before, but it might be something we'll be seeing more of. And, you know, I'm used to seeing, like, fat, unattractive girls nowadays, often with piercings and tattoos and blue hair. This time, I saw the fat, unattractive girl with horn-rimmed glasses and a shaved head. And, there was a comedian who said, a man, the reason that men are superior to women is a man can walk down the street with a bald head and a giant gut and still think he's, like, the hottest, most attractive thing on earth. But, you know, you add in the horn-rimmed glasses, and I don't even know if a man would go that that far. It's just amazing. And I remember looking at her. I was looking at her, and I was thinking, has she completely given up on the idea of ever reproducing? I mean, and even with a black man. I mean, would even black men who tend not to be as put off by the fatness aspect of it, would a black – I mean, I get – and she's probably lesbian. I saw this, and I also recently on TV saw, you know, there are these four members of Congress, these young female members of Congress who are very radical, known as the Squad. And the least famous of them, the most famous is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and then there's the Ilhan Omar, there's Rashida Tlaib, and then the fourth one is a black woman named Ayanna Pressley or something like that. It's like Elvis Presley, but it's Ayanna Pressley, something like that. And she has now shaved her head. And, I mean, is this going to be a thing? Are you seeing this, women shaving their heads?
I think we're seeing women being debased. And the interesting thing with this is there was obviously many different measures of what makes a woman a woman, what makes a woman worth something. And one of them was beauty. Definitely one of them was beauty. One of them was elegance. One of them was motherhood. And when I say motherhood, I don't just mean being a mum. I mean doing a really good job with your children, bringing them up to be intelligent, well-behaved, to have good manners. Another was being a good homemaker. And isn't it amazing that everything that was once what would be described as a womanly virtue is now the very opposite of what women are told to be today? So women, they don't have children. They don't keep a nice house. They don't cook a hearty meal for their husband when he comes home. They don't even look attractive. They look hideous, and they'll do anything they can to make sure they don't look feminine. They'll shave their head, cover themselves in tattoos, put on huge amounts of weight. And again, this is part of the cultural Marxist agenda.
Yep. Okay, we are up on the break. We will be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. And we are back and talking about women's appearances. Is that really the role of men? Well, on RBN, we're a free speech zone.
It is today.
I remember my mother, who, she wasn't the most fashionable person. She was a very good mother, but she was commenting on fashion. These fashions that come and go, and she said, like, she thought the entire fashion industry was dedicated to getting women to spend as much money as possible in order to make themselves look ridiculous. But we're not talking about women looking ridiculous now. We're talking about women looking repulsive. I mean, this this woman I passed by, and I don't think she was old. I think she was probably still in her 20s. She looked like a 60-year-old man. She just looked utterly repulsive. And that seems to be what they're going for. And even, like, would even a lesbian be attracted to that? I don't know.
I'm not sure what. I don't think they don't think they want to be attractive in any way. I think this is to turn women into really what could be described as a freak show. Some are masculine, some do everything they can to make themselves look unattractive, and some of them actively want to be unattractive. They hate men, they don't want to be with men. And this push is essentially to make sure men and women don't get together, isn't it? This is to make men hate women, to make women hate men, to ensure that men and women don't come together. Because men and women are different. Men are masculine, men have certain traits, women are feminine, they have other traits, and opposites attract.
So I was recently stuck in an airport and subjected to CNN. And CNN had this report from 12, 13-year-old girl in Utah who, and it was like she's starting a girls' tackle football league. And of course, girls are playing all sorts of sports today, you know, soccer and basketball, and maybe that's probably fine. It's probably good for their health. But, you know, tackle football is a very violent sport. And what's the point in getting women to, or young girls into violent sports? Because it's probably not something they would necessarily be that attracted to naturally.
I've often wondered this. And again, I think it's just part of the attack on natural gender roles. They want women playing rugby. They want them playing American football. They want women boxing. They want women fighting. They don't want women doing things that are feminine, that are womanly. And it's all about reversing natural gender roles. It's all about turning women into something that they should never have been, turning women into something that they weren't. And this is to upset that balance. It's to upset the natural balance between men and women. Because when you find a woman, and when you settle down with a woman, especially when you have children with a woman, you realize that the differences between yourself and your partner are there for a reason. You both fulfill different roles. And once you muddle all that up, once you smash that mold, once you tell people to be the exact opposite of what nature intended, again, coming together, having children will either be far more difficult or it simply won't happen. And we talked about something earlier, the sexual abuse of children, how that can prevent breeding, how that can prevent normal and healthy and natural human relationships forming. But again, we're now talking of cultural Marxism and the destruction of natural gender roles, which does exactly the same thing. And so many of these pressures are there to stop us coming together and having white children.
I think you hit the nail absolutely on the head. There's certainly a lot more we could talk about, and we will talk about it because you'll be back next week. Special guest this week on Patriotic Weekly Review?
It's all well and good.
All right. And thank you, Mark, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hear ye, hear ye. ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.